he chased after her and tried to get a hold of her, and all she would say is, "I wouldn't go in that car." He raced back to his own car, looked in the trunk, and Gene, that's when he made this grisly discovery.
Welcome or welcome back. I'm Cassie and this is A Wicked World. The story I have for you today is about a little girl whose mother was jealous of her pretty much from the day that she was born. And to make matters even worse for this little girl, she was not the child that her mother wanted. This is the story of Victoria Wyatt. Victoria Wyatt was born January 28, 2010, in Marshall, Texas, to her father, Gary Wyatt II, and her mother, Stacy Parsons. Victoria was said to be a daddy's girl, and she would always be waiting at the door each day to greet him when he came home from work. She loved spending time with her daddy, and one of her favorite things to do was watch him cook dinner. Victoria also loved turning on the movie Frozen and singing along to every song. The little girl also loved the color pink, and she was looking forward to attending pre-K. Victoria's parents, Gary and Stacy, began dating in 2009, and in 2010, they had their only daughter, Victoria. But then Stacy's personality began to change. She became a lot meaner to the people around her, and on occasion had become violent. Even though this bothered Gary, he figured that his wife was just suffering from some postpartum depression, and her change in mood would just be a temporary thing. But part of the reason why Stacy's attitude had changed so much was because of the disappointment that she felt when she and Gary had found out that their new baby was going to be a little girl. Stacy had very much hoped for a little boy to dote on. She would even tell her young daughter, Victoria, from time to time that she wished she had been born a boy instead. Since he could clearly see that Stacy was struggling, Gary decided to ask his parents to help watch their new baby. And though this seemed like the solution they needed to make things a little less stressful, this would actually keep Stacy from properly bonding with her new daughter, Victoria. And Gary also began to notice that Stacy was not at all affectionate towards her daughter. She wouldn't hug her, she wouldn't kiss her, and often she wouldn't tell her that she loved her. But Gary would just chalk up Stacy's lack of affection to her own dysfunctional childhood. When she was only 12 years old, she and her sister had been adopted, and Stacy's name was changed from Marianne to Stacy. She had also told Gary that she had been molested by her adoptive father when she was younger. So even though Victoria's parents, Gary and Stacy, had never officially gotten married, they had lived together for 6 years and acted as husband and wife. So they were considered as married under Texas common law. After their daughter was born, Stacy had become a lot more verbally abusive towards Gary, and she had slapped him a couple of times. On the night of July 20th, 2014, 46-year-old Gary decided that he had had enough of his wife's terrible attitude, and he told her that he wanted a divorce. This caused a big fight between the couple, which resulted in Stacy calling Gary a bunch of terrible names. Gary then told her that she needed to move out of the house as soon as possible. This left Stacy absolutely fuming, which Gary expected. And then a little while after their fight, Stacy would put her daughter, Victoria, down for bed, and then she would go to bed herself. But when Gary awoke the next morning, neither Stacy or Victoria were anywhere to be found, and Stacy's car was missing from the driveway. However, that day, Victoria was scheduled to be enrolled in a pre-kindergarten program, so Gary figured that Stacy had just taken their daughter and gone without him due to the argument the night before. But it wasn't long after Gary discovered his wife Stacy and his daughter missing that Stacy pulled back into the driveway. She quickly jumped out of the car as soon as she parked, and she was by herself. Victoria was nowhere to be seen. Stacy began to walk away from the home, and Gary, along with a friend named Randy Dyes, who had actually been staying with the family for a little while, started running after Stacy, asking her where the little girl was. But Stacy wouldn't tell them. The only thing that she would say to them was, "I wouldn't go in that car if I were you." She then continued walking and walked all the way down to the police station. Meanwhile, Randy, who had a very bad feeling about the situation, went to look in the trunk of Stacy's car. He opened the trunk of the white sedan, and there he found a black plastic trash bag with a little leg hanging out of it. It was 4-year-old Victoria, wrapped in plastic. She was foaming from the mouth and not breathing. In addition, she had large marks on her head, like she had been hit with a very heavy object. Panicking, the two men pulled Victoria from the trunk and laid her on the ground. They began performing CPR, but unfortunately, it was much too late. Victoria had already been dead for some time. Meanwhile, Stacy had walked herself all the way down to the Athens Police Department and arrived there around 8:45 in the morning. Once there, Stacy admitted to police that she had killed her daughter, Victoria. They had then brought Stacy back to the crime scene at 413 Martin Luther King Jr. Street. And once police discovered that she was telling the truth, she had killed her daughter, she was placed under arrest, and Stacy didn't look the least bit upset when she was arrested. The mother was then booked into the Henderson County Jail on charges of capital murder and held on a $2 million bond. Stacy told officers that she had killed her little girl on a bridge along Henderson County Road 1500. From there, she had put her in the trunk of the car and driven back home, which was about 5 miles away. Stacy also confessed to police that she had first attempted to kill her daughter Victoria by suffocating her with a pillow while they were still in the house with Gary and their friend Randy sleeping close by. When that plan had failed, Stacy took her young daughter to a remote location outside the city limits where she parked near the bridge and took Victoria to a creek where she beat her over the head with a rock and stabbed her with a piece of metal that she had found underneath the bridge. And as if that wasn't enough, Stacy then told police that she took her daughter Victoria and held her under the water in the creek until there were, quote, no more bubbles. In later interviews with detectives, Stacy would tell them that she was 100% guilty of her daughter's murder. She would also then go along with investigators to the area where she had killed Victoria. Once an autopsy was performed on Victoria's body, it was discovered that she had died of homicidal violence. She had a stab wound to her chest, as well as blunt force injuries to her head, and water in her lungs, just as police had expected, according to Stacy's story. Gary Wyatt would say that Stacy had long been jealous of their daughter, Victoria, and she did not like when Gary spent time with their daughter and not her. But even though Stacy had been envious of their daughter since pretty much the day she was born, she had never been violent towards Victoria. Gary did say she, however, was 24/7 verbally abusive towards the little girl. Gary would also say that in the weeks leading up to him telling Stacy that he wanted a divorce, she had said something rather disturbing to him. She had told Gary that if he ever left her, she would kill Victoria. But Gary said that he thought it was just angry talk and that there was no way she would go through with it.
A 25-year-old mother accused of killing her 4-year-old daughter. Police are not speculating yet on the motive, but the child's father says the mom was jealous of the little girl. I love the grandfather whom we just saw. Evie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things going on here. I'd really actually want to sit down and interview the father. I think the dynamics of the whole family is completely off.
Did you get the weird feeling about the father that I got? That was a very, very strange position, you know, sort of attitude to adopt when your 4-year-old daughter was just murdered by your spouse.
And you know what else he did, Dr. Drew? When he refers to Victoria, he says, when he refers about his wife, he says, she dislikes the child. The child? You mean Victoria, right? Because you would refer to your own child by its name. Then he says, to be honest with you, I think she's been jealous of that little girl. Who's that little girl? That's your daughter. So there's a disconnect between him and the child as well.
Very interesting.
Are you even sure that it's his daughter?
Ooh, interesting.
I mean, maybe that could be another dynamic in that relationship that we don't know. I mean, it just seems to me when I'm looking at him, he's so much older than her. Don't you guys find that sort of, I don't know, it's just kind of a strange dynamic. But, you know, sometimes it's like when you know that people probably have some sort of mental illness, when people say things, you have to believe them. I've always been that person. It's like if somebody says something, you don't say things jokingly, like, oh, I'm going to kill her if you leave me. Why would you not believe that? You know, people are having mental health problems. She can't even take care of herself, and she's procreating and having a baby. Bad things are going to happen. We see it time and time and time again, night after night. I mean, how do you think we do this show, Dr. Drew? It's people like this that are emotionally disturbed he was going to leave her, and she killed her baby.
And
I mean,
we hear about it because we're all connected through social media, Erica.
Yeah, well, what I try to kind of understand why, not to defend her, but I feel like that this could possibly be, and Dr. Drew, don't jump down my throat, but a possible extended postpartum depression mixed with her childhood, the adoption. I think that was an extreme form of abandonment for her. So when the father said, I'm going to divorce you, she went into this breaking point mode where why she did what
Erica,
she did.
But you don't get back at him.
Doesn't make it right or not. But whether
hold on, Erica, slow down. What kind of what are you describing of a personality style that is overwhelmed by abandonment and does have an overwhelming rage when they are faced with abandonment? There's a name
borderline.
For that. That's right. Borderlines
borderline.
Have that quality. But I'm not saying we are not saying borderlines murder people. I'm not saying that. But Erica was describing a constellation of features that we associate with the borderline personality disorder. Sam.
But it's also interesting that you said. I agree with you, Erica. I think that makes a lot of sense in all of this. I don't think that the husband is somehow complicit in all of this. I think maybe there's a lack of affect there. Maybe he's on drugs that we don't know about. And I think
I know.
This...
See, that's what put the whole thing into sort of outer space. Yeah. When you put stimulants into things like this, violence occurs.
The couple's friend who had been in the home that day, Randy, said that Stacy had a history of anger towards her little girl. From what he had seen, she treated her daughter terribly. And only days before she had killed Victoria, Randy said that Stacy had made a threat against her daughter's life. Apparently, the mother had said to her husband, Gary, I'd rather kill Victoria and spend the rest of my life in prison than put up with you. So she said two different things to him about killing Victoria, and he didn't do anything about it. I would have immediately made her get the F out of the house. And Stacy's adoptive mother, Ruby Parsons, would say that even though she knew her daughter had a temper, she had never seen it towards Victoria. Ruby said she had taken in Stacy and her sister after their real mother had given them up for adoption. But anytime there was discussion of Stacy's real mother, it would send her into a downward spiral. Despite these struggles, Ruby said that as far as she knew, Stacy had been a good mom who was very protective of her daughter. But if she was verbally abusing a four-year-old, then I'd say that's not a good mom. Then in April of 2016, Stacy Parsons' trial was rescheduled to November of that year. After an expert witness determined that she was incompetent to stand trial due to mental illness, she was said to be unable to correctly answer questions about court procedures. So after this decision was made, Stacy was then admitted to a mental health facility for treatment. And by October of 2016, Stacy was deemed fit to stand trial. This was even though she had been examined by several psychiatrists and state experts and was found to be intellectually challenged. She was said to have the mental abilities of a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old. And due to this finding, the death penalty was taken off the table. Stacy Parsons, however, was said not to be the type of person that you would see on the street and think that she was mentally disabled. She was a high-functioning individual who had lived in her own apartment as a teenager, held a job, had a driver's license, and handled the family's finances. Stacy had pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity, and if the jury did find her guilty, she was potentially facing a life sentence without the possibility of parole. During Stacy's trial, the prosecution said in their opening statement that Stacy had killed their daughter because she had been angry with Gary for his drug use. In addition, Gary had just told Stacy that he wanted to leave her, and Stacy did not want to raise a four-year-old on her own. This had led Stacy to making the decision that if Gary wanted to be alone, she would make him completely alone, forever. During Stacy's trial, Gary was called to the stand as a witness, and he spoke about how much he had loved Stacy and how he wanted to save up and give her the perfect wedding. But now, all of that love was gone. Gary's friend, Randy Dyes, who had been staying at the home with the couple, also testified during Stacy's trial and said that Stacy and Gary had a very volatile relationship. In fact, he said it was so bad that the only time he ever saw them get along was when Victoria was not around. Randy also testified that he had seen Stacy be verbally abusive towards Victoria and physically abusive towards Gary. He also spoke about how Gary was his daughter's main caregiver. He was the one to feed her, play with her, and take care of her because Stacy couldn't be bothered. She always seemed to have some sort of hatred towards Victoria. Randy then told the jury that on the morning Victoria had been killed, he had awoken around 3 a.m. to hear muffled sounds coming from the room next door, which was Victoria's bedroom. He, however, said that the noises stopped shortly after, and he didn't think anything of them, which is now a fact that he says he struggles to live with. When the trial came to an end, Stacy Parsons was found guilty of capital murder of her daughter, Victoria. She was then given life without parole. Victoria's dad, Gary, said publicly that he is devastated that he will never again get to see his little girl's smile. And their friend Randy would say that he had been hoping Stacy would get the death penalty because she had taken away his friend's only daughter. Not long after her conviction, Stacy filed an appeal. It alleged that Stacy had an intellectual disability and that her constitutional rights had been violated because this information was not allowed to be heard at trial. They claimed that this disability, along with emotional problems and a childhood background of neglect and abuse, rendered her incapable of forming actual intent. Yeah, sure does. She claimed that she did not understand the Miranda rights given to her prior to making incriminating statements to the Athens police. But in response, the appeals court ruled that due to the plethora of evidence that had been presented, regardless of any possible mental issues, Stacy had intentionally killed her daughter, Victoria. Victoria's funeral was held on Sunday, July 27, 2014, at the Hannigan Smith Funeral Home in Athens, Texas. Many attended, and her tiny casket was covered in pink flowers of different shades. As pink was her favorite color. Victoria was then buried at Elm Grove Cemetery in Van Zandt County, Texas. A Facebook post said that the family welcomed anyone to attend the services as they said one last goodbye to their sweet angel. Well, thank you for listening to Victoria's story today. I know that Gary said that he thought his wife was only talking out of anger when she said that she would kill their daughter. However, I don't care how angry you are. That's not something you joke around about. When it comes to your own children, especially. Not unless there's already some sort of premeditation going on, that is. So if you do like true crime and you want to hear it from me, then don't forget to hit that subscribe button below and turn on those notifications too, so you'll know when I upload a new video, which is about 2 times every week. Thanks for watching A Wicked World today. Until next time, take care, guys. Bye. Thank you to all the patrons of A Wicked World. Now, there's even more of A Wicked World on Patreon. So check it out at patreon.com/awickedworld or use the Patreon app. You'll have access to exclusive videos each month and more. Any support truly helps to make sure the victims never get forgotten and to highlight the shortcomings of society associated with each case. Do you have a suggestion for a case you'd like to see me cover? If so, send me an email at awickedworldtruecrime@gmail.com.